Washington, and WBAI New York. I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe, and thank you for listening.
For 2 Year Hell comes in part from Dr. Theodore Watkins of the Watkins Institute. Dr. Watkins advocates holistic medicine and teaches lifestyle changes. Further information is available at www.twiliving.com.
You know that health is wealth and ital is vital. They're not just some rhyming words. It's something that's just got to be heard. Who is responsible for your health? Look in the mirror, it's your very own self. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Jogging with the herb of the field for the healing of the nation. Fruit and vegetable for medication. So much food, so much variation. Sustenance for all generation. It's there in abundance. Vitamins and minerals and whole heap of nutrients. Anti-inflammatory and antioxidants. Give your temple a chance. Cause health is wealth, ital is vital. You gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ital is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Vegan, we're vegan. Plant BS, we say. Long time Rastafari. Say I dey so he dey. Ital, we ital, nah gone away. And we root and we fruit and we vegetable all the way. Cause health is wealth, ital is vital. You gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ital is vital.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health. And I'm here with my able, trusty, consistent producer and friend, Frank Smith. How you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, the Brother Doc.
Oh, man.
I'm doing well.
You know, today we want to look at what's happening out there as far as the impact of the government shutdown on healthcare, the impact of the government shutdown on healthcare. And we want to look at also what we can do about it. You know, the current federal government shutdown that started on October the 1st actually carries significant implications for healthcare access, for quality, and affordability for many Americans. And Brother Frank, I think we need to stop here because a lot of people don't realize this. They think it's just a political thing, you know, the different parties having disagreements, but this thing can help a lot, hurt a lot of people and will hurt a lot of people, many of whom are supporters of this administration.
Yes. You know, yes.
This administration has been trying to get rid of affordable health care, or better known as Obamacare, for a long time. And so I believe this is an attempt to do so. So while some essential programs will remain operational, the effect of this shutdown is going to likely disturb healthcare services and actually increase cost. Increase cost for many people. I was at the doctor today, Brother Frank, and he said, you know, well, you don't need to come back for a while. Let's make your next visit just a televisit. But when I went out to the front desk, I was told, you got Medicare. You know, you're an old man. Your primary insurance is Medicare. We cannot give you a telehealth consultation because the Medicare telehealth has been interrupted. All right? It's not allowed.
Ridiculous.
They're not going to pay the doctor for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's one of the impacts that I've noticed just today myself. Also, you know, Affordable Care Act, while it's going to continue, but its financial support structure is at risk.
Yes.
Meaning there's an expiration of enhanced subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. And it could lead to a 4.2 million more people going uninsured in this country.
Yes, yes. And
4.2 million people may go uninsured, and some of them are in the areas that are supporting this politically, you know?
Yeah.
You were going to say, Brother Frank?
Yeah, and the premiums are going to virtually double for Affordable Care Act participants.
So once people start start looking at their bank accounts, mm-hmm. and seeing what's happening, you know, this shutdown is leading to a reduced staffing for these support services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that helps the beneficiaries with queries and claims, you know, and it's going to result in longer wait times and delay responsibility for critical health care needs. Now, what that means in being interpreted means that people are going to die.
Straight up.
Because they can't get the questions answered that they need, you know, it's really very, very troubling, and it's specifically troubling for low income communities. You know, they'll particularly feel the impact as the funding for the community health centers is at risk without congressional action. And Congress has shown that they don't plan to act, you know. So this could limit the access to primary health care for this already very vulnerable community. So we need to be really concerned about this because of the ongoing political negotiations. It's going to affect those ACA premiums, as you said. They may even double, you know, and it's going to make it unavailable for many people who currently are depending upon this. But I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it may seem strange, but I want to know, can these cutbacks in healthcare be a blessing in disguise if we become more self-reliant and make some serious lifestyle changes? Now, I admit that this is a complex and for many a thought-provoking question with potential benefits, but also significant risk, especially when it comes to equality and access to healthcare. Let's for a moment look at some of the potential blessings of this. The idea that healthcare cutbacks could encourage greater self-reliance and serious lifestyle change is rooted in the whole philosophy of prevention and personal responsibility. You know, what we know, Brother Frank, is that many, if not most, of the chronic illnesses facing our community are preventable
mm-hmm.
and reversible with lifestyle change.
Yes.
So if this can help that, you know, when the access to treatment is limited or more costly, individuals may be motivated to change their diet, start exercising, you know, start dealing with stress and going to bed. You know, they may be motivated to stop using risky substances that's, you know, really at the basis of a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And these things have been proven to prevent and reverse many of these diseases, like diabetes,
mm-hmm.
like heart disease, like hypertension. These diseases are preventable. Many of the cancers that we suffer, stress, diet, environment, all these things are impacting them, you know, and it would reduce reliance on a vast and extensive and somewhat slow-moving medical system can encourage people to become more knowledgeable, you know, about their own health.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my patients, don't just trust what I say. Go and read for yourself, you know. And if you want some places to read, I'll direct you, you know. and they can practice a more self-monitoring, you know, situation and make some informed choices, you know. You know, if they successfully adopt these healthy lifestyle changes, it's actually going to lower the cost of health.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to mean fewer prescriptions because when your blood pressure comes down, you don't need to take hypertensive medicines. which was never intended to reverse your blood pressure in the first place. All right.
Come on, Doc.
It will decrease hospital visits and decrease all these procedures, you know, and can really significantly reduce the financial strain on the overall healthcare system. And you know, as we, it's been a long time ago, but when we looked at healthcare, the economics, we found that healthcare was one of the major expenses. One of the major expenses of our economy is healthcare, you know? And so by start doing some things that grandma taught us, things that, you know, we look at a community, you know, we talk about these third world backward countries. Well, these third world backward countries like Africa, we know that in rural Africa, they don't have hypertension or very, very little hypertension, especially in the bush. Now, if you go to the city and you follow the lifestyle of Americans, when you live like Americans, eat like Americans, you do what, Frank?
Die like Americans.
You get the diseases that Americans get.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that in these communities, they don't have a lot of hypertension, heart disease, cancer. You know, they don't have constipation, Brother Frank. They don't have hemorrhoids, varicose veins, because of the lifestyle that they live. All right,
and they're not obese.
And they're not obese. But if you go to the city,
yeah,
where they are trying to be like Americans, doing their best to out American Americans, they are extremely obese. They got hypertension. They got cancer. They got all the diseases that we have over here. All right, but now, We have to also admit that there's some risk to the reality of cutbacks, because what's going to happen, the people that will be affected are people who are on the lower socioeconomic status. You know, the ones that with less education,
yes,
the ones with unstable housing, they're more likely to face barriers to healthcare access. You know, the cutbacks will disproportionately affect this vulnerable population, and they may not be able to have the resources, the time, the money. The safe environment, the skills to take advantage of these things. Although I must admit, I used to have an office in housing project in Washington D.C., and I taught those people lifestyle changes, and many of them who adopted them did so successfully, and was able to become less dependent upon medical services. You know, and it's not only did it impact the adults, but it also impacted the children. You know, less hyperactivity. You know. Fewer colds and flus and so forth, but this reliance on lifestyle impacts to a great degree chronic diseases. because many of these chronic diseases are, as we said, are preventable. But then there some acute things. There's injuries. There's infectious diseases. There's issues that come with genetics and some complex surgeries, late stage diseases. These can be negatively impacted just reliance on lifestyle. You need to recognize when to dance. And when you know what I mean, Brother Frank?
Yes, sir.
You know, there'll be cutbacks in hospital capabilities, mm-hmm. and services, specialty care, long term health facilities can harm this needy population. And so there's certainly some advantages, but this vicious cycle of poverty and poor health, this lack of insurance, the high cost can push these individuals right over the cliff, you know, because it'll lead to financial strain and a further limit their ability to afford health care, healthy foods, safe living conditions, and lead to poor health overall. And so while there are advantages, we also must recognize that there are disadvantages. And so therefore, I think it's incumbent upon us as a community to really, become aware that not only do we need to take care of ourselves, we need to also take care of that vulnerable portion of our community, you know, that are less self-reliant and are more dependent upon the system, you know. When I was a little boy, you know, we were dependent upon the system, you know. We were on welfare, you know, living in the projects. But Brother Frank, I hated that situation so.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it so because they would give us cheese and soy milk, but the cheese was hard. you could knock somebody out with that cheese, Brother Frank. They would give you those big blocks of cheese, man. That thing was so hard.
I remember that.
You remember that, man?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We had some government cheese.
Government cheese, you know, and the government soy milk and government eggs.
Peanut butter.
Oh man, that stuff was so terrible. But what was worse to me, Brother Frank, was the humiliation of you were thought of as being less than.
Mm-hmm.
And you were treated that way, you know. And so I determined as a little boy that wasn't going to be the plight of my family.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, my daddy left us and my mother was sick. And so until she got her health better, we were in that situation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing, it wasn't because my mother wasn't smart and a hard worker. She was a hard worker, and she taught us to work hard. You know, you know, that's why I'm so crazy, man. My mama taught me you got to do, you got to be responsible. You know, but the economics limited our ability. All right. And so we have to, but there were people back there who recognized that we wanted more and were willing to do to help us. So, you know, people wonder, why do I give back so much? Because it was given to me.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
People in my church and community, they showed me love and support. You know, one lady I was caddying, working my way through boarding high school, and there are no country clubs, no golf courses in the project, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to catch the bus early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the morning. And ride to the end of the line, then catch another bus, ride to the end of the line, and then hitchhike to the golf course. And this lady came to me one day, Frank, and she said, Theodore, you don't have to do that anymore.
Wow.
You come and stay with us. They were one of the few blacks who lived in Orange Village, which mm-hmm. where the golf course was. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they took me in with their three children.
Wow.
Her husband working two jobs and treated me like the fourth child. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so we have to be able to be able to give back to our communities also. And one of the people who are leading in areas of giving back and supporting this kind of effort is our guest, Betsy Johnson. Frank, you want to introduce Betsy for us?
You do it, Doc. I mean, you would be better than that.
Betsy is one of my good friends.
Yes.
She is
good people.
She's community nurse at our church. She's involved in so many things. When my mother passed, Betsy brought me this big book that told me all the things that I need to do to take advantage of, to be able to successfully go through that period of time, something that she had written. All right. But the thing we're going to talk about today is she's involved with these community groups that actually give free health care to people within our community. The last one that I participated in last year, I think I got there around 7 o'clock. When I got there, Brother Frank, there was a line, man, a street block long. All right. People who had been there since 3 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
access to health care.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome, Sister Betsy. I understand we have another one coming up.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you so much for having me. Yes, to answer your question, we do have another clinic coming up, and that clinic is going to be actually in just 2 weeks on Sunday, October the 19th, right here in our area in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And we're looking forward to being able to serve and meet the needs of those very underserved and uninsured individuals that you were mentioning earlier. So I
about how many people that we served that day, you remember?
On last year, we served around 900 people, but we had to turn several as well. So
mm-hmm. What was the last thing you said?
I said we did have to turn away some at the end. So that's why we're coming back to the same location, because we feel like there's a greater opportunity still awaiting us there at that location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so what types of services will this free clinic be providing?
Well, the free clinic in Tacoma Park, Maryland, will be providing dental services, so individuals can come in and have their teeth examined, as well as they'll be able to have a cleaning by the dental hygienist. They'll be able to see the dentist in order for them to get a filling or an extraction or whatever their need might be along those lines. Those services will all be provided on that day in real time at the clinic.
Free of charge.
Free of charge, by God's grace. Free of charge, yes.
And what about ophthalmology, eyes?
We'll also be able to be seen by the eye doctor, so you can get an eye exam. You'll be able to get an eye diagnosis if necessary, if it's noted that you have vision needs for glasses. We actually will be partnering with Remote Area Medical this year, and they will be providing us with the services of getting your glasses made on the spot. So you will go with your free glasses on that same day if you fall in the category for needing glasses. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, in addition to dental and eye, what other kind of services will be available?
Well, you know, we have so many individuals that don't have a medical doctor or haven't been seen by a medical doctor in quite some time. We will have several physicians on site to be able to meet your medical needs, to give you a checkup, as well as we'll have pediatricians there to see the children. So this is an adult and children clinic. There'll be an opportunity to see someone in physical therapy so we can check your gait and make sure that you are not necessarily, you may not have a need for a walker or a cane, but your gait is of such that it might not be safe the way that you are walking. They will do those assessments to help with fall prevention, as well as to be able to see the physical therapy doctor if necessary, if they can refer you to the physical medicine doctor right on site. We'll have plenty of resources available, social workers from the various counties, housing opportunity commission from the county. There'll be, if you need help with paying your electric bill, you know, everything, one thing hinges onto the other. If your health is poor, you may not to maintain your job. If you live in an environment where jobs are being taken away from you, you still may not have the coverage that you need to have. So all of these things feed one into another. So our purpose and our goal is to help alleviate pain, to help bring resources that are meaningful to the people that are here, and for people to receive services without feeling stigmatized. It's open to whomsoever will. There is no checking or doing any kind of thing that would make one feel inhibited to want to come out, because the only person that can help us is us, and we are here to make a difference in the community.
Yes.
So if you have diabetes or hypertension, is there any help for those kind of people?
Absolutely. We will have physicians that are there covering in those areas. We'll have prevention doctors there as well. And you have an opportunity, the additional resources such as Kaiser Permanente, who will be there, and they will be checking your blood pressure, offering flu shots. Howard University will be there, men's health, women's health. So there are a litany of things. You don't have to worry about whether or not I can get to see the doctor if you went to get your eyes checked. Everyone can see the doctor, whether it's the prevention doctor or whether it's the traditional doctor. You have an opportunity for everyone to have a doctor's visit on that day. So please think about it, consider it. you may not need to go, but you may know someone that does need to have access to this resource. And we're there. We're there.
So this is in Montgomery County, but is this limited to people from Montgomery County?
Absolutely not. The services are being provided in Montgomery. We're right on the corner of Montgomery and Prince George's County, but it's open to whosoever will. First come, first serve.
That's why they're so early. I mean, right. And unfortunately, many of our community did not take advantage of the last. But the many of the people from the Hispanic community and other communities were there and took advantage of it. And so we need to really take advantage of this because. This is free of charge, you know?
Yeah.
I participated in a number of these, and we have a number of trained medical personnel, not just doctors, but as she mentioned, oral hygienists are there, and I mean it's just amazing to see us help us. How often do you do these clinics like this?
Well, personally, I do these clinics. I'm involved with sharing with these clinics mainly once a year. So this is an opportunity for you to take advantage of without having to wait an extended period of time. And one of the things that I would like to share also is that if you receive a service that requires you to have, let's say you had an extraction and now we want to make sure that you get your prescription for an antibiotic and an anti-inflammatory to keep you comfortable once you get home, those medications are provided to you on site without cost.
Wow.
So that's a game changer. You don't have to go home and try to figure out now how I will be able to get the medications that I need to assist with the service that was just rendered.
This is first class.
It's first class. And you see all the equipment there. I mean, you know, I took pictures last time and it was just amazing to see all of these people out there. The place was packed, you know. And you had all these dentists, all these dental chairs, and all these ophthalmologists there and so forth. It's just really optometrists were there. You know, we have an opportunity here to really, get some services if you need services. And she said several times that there'll be people there dealing with preventative also. So lifestyle, we have nutritionists there too, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We have some nutritionists that are really, really and folk come from, you know, one of my friends last time drove almost 2 hours to get there to be of service, and his wife was had some difficulty with arthritic pain. She said, "Ted, I wouldn't miss this for the world."
Wow,
coming out there to serve the community, you know.
Wow,
she's a Mississippi girl too, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was out there serving, and we have so many people out there, who's sponsoring this?
This the Emmanuel Brinklow Seventh-day Adventist Church, along with other Adventist churches, and the Remote Area Medical. We have brought them in to be our partner for this year. They are coming to us from out of Tennessee, and they are bringing a litany of supplies and services, and we have the opportunity for them to render their awesome service to us, because their goal is to provide service to individuals who are remote in these United States, in areas like in Mississippi or the back woods of Alabama, places where they don't have the litany of healthcare providers that we have up here. You know, we have University of Maryland, we have Johns Hopkins, and we have some people have no resource in their area, but the remote area medical team, which is coming to us, acronym is RAM, Remote Area Medical, they'll be bringing their expertise and connecting us with all of the professional services that are in our region. And my role is to provide all of the boots on the ground professionals. So it's a team effort between the church, the community, and these nonprofit organizations to come together to do for us what we cannot always do for ourselves, but we have the opportunity to take advantage of it.
So this is a one of the ways that we can help ourselves, you know. You know, she mentioned they're coming from Tennessee, and Brother Frank, they bring a lot of equipment. They bring a lot of equipment, and that thing is set up, you know, the gymnasium where the meeting is, where the services are being held, huge gymnasium, and then other areas in the school. It's just, I mean, it's amazing to see all of these people working together to provide services for our community. And so I really want to encourage our listeners to take advantage of this opportunity, especially if you don't have access to health care. Now we're giving you access. When the government is trying to take away access, take away access, you are being given access, you know. It's coincidental or maybe providential that it's happening at this time, because this was planned over a year ago, right, Sister Betsy?
Absolutely. We have a 1 year out planning so that we can be sure that we are well coordinated and that there are no unforeseen glitches. But I just want to share one additional piece. You know, this is not guesswork when it comes to your health and the provisions that are being provided for you. If your dentist is looking in and we do the x-rays and we see that looks like something is not altogether appropriate in that area, we have the opportunity through the RAM clinic to take you out back to what we have, a trailer, the x-ray trailer, where they will actually do the big panoramic x-ray of your so that they can have a clear vision of exactly what's going on. And those kinds of things is what bring expertise to the professional services that are being rendered. And these services will be brought to us at 8300 Carroll Avenue in Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Say that again.
8300 Carroll Avenue. This is on the campus of Tacoma Academy and Tacoma Academy Prep. And so we'll be right on the school premises there. Just so you're aware, that will be Sunday, October the 19th. And our parking lot opens at 12 midnight the night before. The doors open at 6 a.m. And we provide a full day of service, so that individuals can get the necessary treatments that they need. We also have opportunities. We give away things. You know, we're hoping to have diapers to give out. If there are any people that are listening that want to participate, they can donate diapers to us. We're also looking to collect some more what we call detergent sheets. You know, people need to wash their clothes. Stuff, the basic things are so expensive. We have opportunity, if you would like to donate diapers or detergent sheets, we will be accepting those on Friday the 17th and 18th at this site, which is 8300 Carroll Avenue in Tacoma Park, Maryland. That's right on the corner of University Boulevard and Carroll Avenue, the intersection there. So this is if whether you want to come render service or whether you want to be to give and to provide items, those are two things that definitely would be well utilized and given back to the community on Sunday, the mm-hmm. 9th.
This is really tremendous. And
I'm telling you.
You know, I talk about Betsy. This is the main one that she does each year. But this child has been she's been clinicking all of September. She's been clinicking. last week, she was in Baltimore, I believe.
Yes.
They did a clinic there, dental and oral. That was a different group. I believe there was another one that she was involved with. And so we're just so thankful that we have people like Betsy who get other people to volunteer their time.
Mm-hmm.
Because these professionals are not being paid.
Absolutely.
They're volunteering their time and they do it gladly. I mean, you know,
giving back.
And that's what we need to do. But we need to take advantage of this. Once again, what's that address, Betsy?
The address is 8300 Carroll Avenue in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And if there's anyone that's still skeptical about the appropriateness of our being there or the professionalism, the Emmanuel Brinklow Church has over 150 health and para-health care professionals in our congregation, and they're willing to work to help make things happen. So it's not just singularly doing this. And the organization of RAM, this is not a new organization if you have not known about them. This is their 40th year in existence. They started in 1985, and they have actually provided more than $215 million worth of free care to the communities that they serve.
$250
million. $1 billion. And they've serviced more than 970,000 people. And so you're not coming to an arena where people are trying to figure it out. You have experts that are here that genuinely are concerned about you. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and my church did many things for me. And just to echo the words of Dr. Watkins, I am also in that arena where I feel like I have no choice but to give back. It was given throughout my life. My first job that I got, my pastor took me to my job site. My mother had to work. You know what I'm saying? The church was a very real part of our existence, and I'm glad that I'm able to keep that going today, even in a different environment. But God is good, and I appreciate having this opportunity on this particular station. You may not be able to ask questions, but I'm hoping we have stimulated you enough to want to come and that we've shared enough information that you don't have questions. You simply have a desire to want to show up and to give back, whether it's physically or through the items that were mentioned, diapers and or washer sheets. And I don't know if people are familiar with what detergent sheets are, but instead of carrying a liquid bottle of water or the big box of, you know, if you walk in, you can't really carry those things. But now in the grocery stores, they have these little packages that has a washing machine sheet in it. And it's very easy to walk around with. It's easy to utilize. And you can get your clothes clean just the same.
So that's so, what I want you to stress the importance of not casually coming in. You got to get there early.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That is a very important fact. It's first come, first serve. And we will be out there to assist you whatever time you may show up. We will have the parking lots manned. There will be someone there to answer your questions. They will start giving you directions as to where to where to park, or where if you walk up, if you're a walk up, where to go in. If you come on the bus, we have all kinds of opportunities to meet your needs on arrival. So please, we look forward
to again, give the address and the date again.
So the date is Sunday, October the 19th. The address is 8300 Carroll Avenue, and the time the doors open are 6 a.m. in the morning. If you choose to make a donation, we'll be there on Friday the 17th and on Saturday the 18th, Saturday from 10 to 6.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent.
All right, all right. Well, that's fantastic. We want to thank
you for coming.
Go ahead, brother.
So to negotiate the lines, should you bring a foldable chair or something like that?
That's a very good question. No, when you come, if you are driving, you will be remaining in your car. We'll get your number and your car location will be the things that are bringing you in, and the services that you are being asked to provide. Those services, so if you came in and you're number one and you had a dental, so you're one for dental. The next person behind you may be coming in and they want vision, so they're number one for vision. So it'll be organized that way. If you're a walk-up, you'll be placed in another location, and in that location, you'll be number three, and you'll be number two for dental. So we have it all organized that way.
Man, it's completely organized. I tell you, this is a phenomenal an event.
Well, I'm brought up an environment where we are taught that things should be done decently and in order, and that we try to do our best.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again, Sister Betsy, and we really appreciate you coming and sharing this information with us. We've been doing this for umpteen years, but this is the first time that I've really had the opportunity to bring you on, or taken the opportunity to bring you on, and so to share this with our community. Thanks again.
Well, I'll put it out there just as an extra caveat. If someone has come and they're coming because they heard it on your radio station, I want to say I'll have something special for you. Just let me know.
All right. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure to share, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all there. And we will give a report when it's done.
All right, Brother Frank.
All right. Thank you, Jesse Johnson. It's a phenomenal event, and you're an angel in disguise. And thank you, Dr. Watkins and the Watkins Institute, for bringing forth this vital information. Immense thanks to our engineers, Mike Nasella, Kalia Chapman, and also Mayuki Williams, Acting General Manager, Katia Stitt, Program Director, and all of the other tireless, hardworking WPFW staff, programmers, volunteers, and our loyal listeners. Thank you, Maccabee, for your music contribution. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, to the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Listen in next Monday at 2 p.m. for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health. You can listen to a recording of this and other broadcasts by going to wpfwfm.org/archives.
Vital is vital, you gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. Vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Mr. Prevention is better than cure. You can't rely on the system no more.
say all over the West, the health care in a mess, especially for the poor, that's for sure. Eat good, exercise, and try your best. Might be seeing the doctor less and less. In your own health, you have to invest. It's in the best of your interest, cause health is wealth. Vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, vital is vital, try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, vital is vital, you can't rely on nobody else.
Support. WPFW has offered inspiring music, poignant stories, and critical journalism for over 48 years. Whether reminiscing while hearing Nina Simone or learning about the harm done due to gross global inequity, WPFW has been the soundtrack for moments of revelation, joy, sadness, and resistance. It's your generosity that allows us to continue this tradition of expansive, emancipatory excellence in community radio. We ask you to once again be in solidarity with WPFW during our fall pledge drive by donating at WPFWFM.org and additionally from October 12th through the 25th at 800-222-9739. There is only one WPFW and only one you, the listener, who is committed to keeping...
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. It is day six of the 2025 government shutdown. Pay has been suspended for about 2 million federal workers, such as military troops and air traffic controllers, who are required to work without pay until a budget deal is reached. Unions who represent government employees have made an emergency request to block immediate layoffs threatened by the White House. Meanwhile, as the Republican and Democratic parties remain at a standstill, the Senate is scheduled to meet today to vote on the stopgap funding bill. A stopgap funding bill is a temporary measure used by Congress to finance the federal government for a limited period of time. Republicans have opposed the bill, which would include an extension of Affordable Care Act funding, also known as Obamacare. Speaking of affordable care, one food aid program that helps more than 6 million low-income mothers and young children will run out of federal money within 2 weeks unless the government shutdown ends. That program is the Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, also known as WIC. If the shutdown continues, states will be forced to use their own money to keep WIC afloat, or it risks shutting down. A South Carolina judge is speaking out after her house was burned down over the weekend. Judge Diane Goodstein told reporters that she was all right following an apparent explosion that resulted in a fire that destroyed her home. Judge Goodstein, a 69-year-old circuit court judge in South Carolina, was walking her dogs on Saturday morning when her home in Edisto Beach caught fire. Her husband, former Democratic state lawmaker Arnold Goodstein, 81 years old, and their son, Arnold II, were still in the house with other guests when the blaze began. According to South Carolina Supreme Court Chief Justice John Kittredge, the family had to escape by jumping from a window or balcony. Kittredge also said that Mr. Goodstein, Arnie, his injuries may have been the most serious because he was airlifted to the hospital. It's possible that he suffered broken legs from jumping out of a window. Though law enforcement has not announced the reason for the incident, multiple sources report that Judge Diane Goodstein had recently received death threats after she blocked a Trump administration request to release the personal data of more than 3 million voters to the federal government. The administration wanted the personal information in order to find supposed undocumented immigrants who it claimed were allegedly voting in elections. Today, the state of Illinois and city of Chicago sued the Trump administration over the decision to deploy National Guard troops to Chicago. This comes as the administration has been targeting Democratic-led cities. Trump authorized 300 members of the Illinois National Guard to Chicago to, quote, protect federal officers and assets. And he also planned to send 400 members of the Texas National Guard to Illinois and Oregon, among other places. A federal judge already blocked National Guard troops from being deployed to Portland, Oregon. Meanwhile, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker likened the potential deployment to an invasion. The state of Illinois' lawsuit is asking authorities to halt the, quote, illegal, dangerous, and unconstitutional federalization of members of the National Guard of the United States, including both the Illinois and Texas National Guard. The lawsuit also described the deployment as politically motivated, claiming that President Trump has a long history of making threatening and derogatory comments about Chicago and the state of Illinois. In the D.C. area, as a result of the current government shutdown, the National Gallery of Art is closing temporarily. The museum is not part of the Smithsonian Institution, but is an independent entity that is federally funded. So without a budget from Congress, the National Gallery of Art cannot continue operations beyond its reserve funding. In addition, Smithsonian museums have said they can remain open until this Saturday, October 11th, using funding from the previous fiscal year.